A very famous meditation on time, not the clock kind of time, the kairos kind of time. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 to 8. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace.
In 1 Thessalonians 5. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say there's peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. But you, beloved, are not in darkness for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness, so then let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober. Put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. Rejoice always. Pray constantly. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus.
Matthew 16, 1 through 3. The Pharisees and Sadducees came, and to put him to the test, they asked if he would show them a sign from heaven. He replied, "In the evening, you say, it will be fine. There's a red sky. And in the morning, stormy weather today, the sky is red and overcast. You know how to read the face of the sky, but you cannot read the signs of the times."
What time is it?
It is 11:05.
Thank you. I recently turned 56. And in the past few years, I have found myself increasingly mindful of the finite nature, the limited quantity of two things: attention and time. Earlier this year, I spoke about the fact that our attention is limited, it's finite. We can't pay attention to everything at once. And so I urged us to be careful about what we attend to. Same thing goes for time. And the two ideas are related. Of late, when I find my mind in a wandering fog, and I realize that I've lost my focus, which is frequently, I have gotten in the habit of asking myself, "What time is it?" As if to say, "Where have I been? Wake up. Pay attention to the gift of this moment. Time is precious. What am I to do now?" And for me, the answer to my question is often driven by the structure of the day. Is it time to pray? That implies that you have a fixed time that you pray during the day, like here at worship, or maybe first thing in the morning or before you go to bed or something. But, yeah, is it that time? Then pray. Is it time to work? Then attend to work. Stay on it, do it well, get it done. Is it time to rest? Then rest. Don't waste that precious rest time by working or by worrying. Is it time to attend to important relationships? Then do that. What if you're not sure what time it is? What if that list of choices or challenges is just too overwhelming or too complicated, or you're just stuck or discouraged? Then I suggest you pray. Maybe with words, maybe not with words. Maybe it's silence. Maybe it's stepping outside, feeling the breeze, touching a tree, petting a cat or a dog, paying attention to the sacredness of that moment. Whether it's for 60 seconds or 60 minutes, silence and connection can be good ways of recollecting the sacred, which is a form of prayer. But sometimes it's just hard to tell what time it is. It's hard enough figuring out the time in your own life. But discerning what time it is for an organization, for a church, it can be really hard when the question is more than, what am I to do now? But the question is, what are we to do now? And Ecclesiastes chapter 3 reminds us, things change constantly. You know, this isn't just a biblical reality. I mean, this is fundamental to many other spiritual traditions as well, such as Hinduism and Buddhism. And even science is telling us more and more that life is just a constant process of change, flow. Everything that moves or grows is flowing in some way. The blood in our veins, water in rivers, the spinning of galaxies, the movement of particles. Some scientists say that when things stop moving and reach equilibrium, they die. Staying in place can be comfortable. It may be familiar. But if the Holy Spirit is blowing change and we don't adjust or attend, we just get left behind. We don't remain awake and sober as 1 Thessalonians urges us. We fall asleep. Equilibrium sets in, maybe a sort of death. That's what was going on in the scene with Matthew, in Matthew. The Pharisees, by all accounts, were heavily invested in the familiar and the predictable, tradition and custom and law. They weren't big on change or threats to the familiar or the predictable. I may be projecting a little bit here, just given what's going on in society today, but I can imagine the Pharisees actually doubling down on the tradition and the custom and the law as an insecure response to the things, that the changes that they were seeing and that they were afraid of. Roman occupation. This guy Jesus. The Pharisees could predict the weather, but they couldn't feel the Holy Spirit blowing change. They couldn't interpret the sign of the times even when he was speaking directly to them. We can see the signs of the times. All we need to do is look in the news, look at the current state of our planet, our communities, state of Christianity today. We can see the signs of the times, but can we interpret them? Can we feel the Holy Spirit blowing change? Can we answer what time is it in the sense of what are we to do now? What do we do when we're not sure what time it is? We pray. We pray. We sit in silence. We listen. We step outside. we attend to what is real. We notice what is sacred. And maybe, rather than doubling down on what's familiar and predictable, we befriend the unfamiliar, the unpredictable, the questions without pat answers. What time is it for you and for us?
I'd invite you to close your eyes if you feel comfortable doing so. To see the stars. In daylight, we cannot see the stars. No, only in some degree of darkness, when it seems the sun has turned away from our side of the world, is their beauty opened to us. That is the order of things. If I wait until dark, yes, but look out from within my well-lit house, even my windows betray me. I see only myself, my own little room, gazing back. No, to see the stars best, I must leave the safe, the tidy enclosure, and enter the darkness.